So as we talked about, it is the last day of 2017. It's been mentioned a few times this morning. And typically, when that happens, people start talking about what's going to happen in 2018, right? And there's this phenomenon called New Year's resolutions. Has anyone ever heard of that? Yeah, we've heard of it. I had never partaken in New Year's resolutions, and actually still probably haven't, but they hit me straight in the face one year, January 1st, I think it was like 2010, I tried to figure out when it was, but my father and I call him Dad, decided to go on a hike at Cowles Mountain. Okay, has anyone ever been there on January 1st? Yeah, so we go, and we start walking up, you know, and it's early in the morning. We went pretty early, and so it wasn't a big deal yet. And then about halfway up, you start looking around, realizing the entire county is here. Like, this is a thing. People really do this. They wake up on January 1st and decide, I'm going to go up Cowles Mountain every day of this year. And, you know, just wait. By February, no one's there, right? You're fine again. But January 1st is pretty rough. Another place I've seen New Year's resolutions come to place is I've never been a gym guy my whole life. I wasn't even trying to be fit for a long time. And then some guys from this church talked me into going to a gym. So we go together a few times a week. And it was hilarious because around December, it's about as quiet as it gets in the gym. You kind of know everybody. You know, you say hi to everybody, no big deal. And then again, I guarantee this week when we go, we won't be able to use any of the machines. We won't know anybody. We'll just be like, well, where'd all you guys come from? Because of New Year's resolutions, right? But again, don't worry. You just wait till February, and it's all better. So today we're going to talk about I just shamelessly decided to pick on it being the 31st, and we're going to talk about the most resolute resolution. Because we as people make these resolutions somewhat arbitrarily sometimes, like these New Year's resolutions that people make for whatever reason, some good, some bad, some indifferent, some stick, some don't. But there's one resolution that's worth talking about. So before we get into it, would you mind bowing your heads and praying with me and asking for God's blessing on our time together. Lord, we thank you for modeling the most resolute resolution. We thank you for your word that teaches us. We thank you for your example of coming down in human form so long ago. God, we look to you today to teach us, and we pray that you would open our hearts and minds to what you'd like to say. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So to talk about the most resolute resolution, as I began to think and kind of sculpt our conversation today, I decided to talk about Peter. So if you would, go ahead and open your Bibles. We're going to start in Luke 5. And if you have a pew Bible, that's on page 718. So Luke 5, we're going to start in verse 1. We're also going to put it on the screens for you, just to help out. And this is where Jesus calls his disciples, right? This is where, well, let's just read it. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water. Let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled the boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me. Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. So as we're looking at the life of Peter, this is the first example of a resolution I think worth looking at in Peter's life. Peter meets Jesus, the real Jesus, God in the flesh. He comes and he tells him to do the impossible. He says, "Put your nets back in." And Peter says, "Look, we've tried that. It's not going to work." Jesus says, "Do it." They do it. And then what does he follow up by saying? He says, "Don't worry. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. The first message I'd like to share with you about resolutions is this is the most important one you can ever make. To decide that the God of the universe, who did come down to earth in human form and died on a cross so long ago for you, is inviting you to leave everything and follow him. It's hugely important as we watch Peter live, and it's hugely important for you that we understand God has things better for us than we have for ourselves. God knows your life better than you do yourself. And when he looks at you and says, "Come follow me," the answer has got to be, "Okay, I will." And some of you in this room have made that resolution long time ago. I actually decided to follow Christ when I was about 5 or 6. Some of you are in that boat with me. Some of you haven't today. And so my first, middle, and last message to you is going to be, please make that decision. Jesus is offering to you, "Come, follow me." And that is the first and most important thing you can do, is to say, "Okay." And that does mean leaving all of our preconceived notions, all of our preferences, everything, and following him. After that, Peter starts following Jesus, and he sees miracles. He watches Jesus teach to people. He watches people get healed. He watches people get raised from the dead, right? Peter stays very close to Jesus as one of his closest disciples. And then we come upon another story that I'd like to take you to. It's in Matthew 14. So if you turn with me to Matthew 14, it's on page 685 in the Pew Bible in front of you. It's a pretty famous story as far as stories go. We're going to go to verse 22. Matthew 14, verse 22. And it should be on the screens as well. Let me read it to you. "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get in the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake." That part's pretty crazy. Some of us who have been in church for a long time take that for granted. That's crazy. The boat's already drifted far away because the wind's so strong, and Jesus just came out to them walking on the lake. "When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid.' 'Lord, if it's you,' Peter replied, 'tell me to come to you on the water.' 'Come,' Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You have little faith,' he said. 'Why do you doubt?' I bring up this story of Peter again because it's so dynamically true. So many of us have decided to follow Jesus and taken that first step and said, I'll go where you go, Lord, let me follow you around. Some of us have gotten to see him do miracles, do wonderful things in our life and the life of others. And still, when the wind and the storm and the waves kick up, we're still able to lose sight of him, aren't we? I've got friends right now who are missionaries, and they went to a pretty terrifying part of the world to go share Christ with people. And I was just on the phone with one of them a few days ago, and they were saying, you know, I'm Christ's. I'm following him wherever he leads me. And here I am in this uncomfortable place in the world, and I realized for the last few months, all I've paid attention to is the hard stuff. The people who aren't listening, the money problems, the being so far away from friends, so far away from family. And they were telling me about how they just needed to look right back at Jesus and get centered again. For some of you guys, you're sick. Most of San Diego is sick right now, right? And that gets a little distracting. It doesn't feel good. Some of us are having money issues. Some of us sitting here today, we just kind of think we have too many kids, right? Wish we could just kind of go back a little bit. Some of you wish you had more kids. Maybe you don't have any. Maybe you can't quite have that kid you wish you could have had. There's so many things in our life that get distracting, those wind and waves that pile up. And we start looking left, and we start looking right, and we start looking at these things, and we forget the whole point is that we've stepped out to follow Jesus. And we are willing to follow him, but these things get distracting. I have a story. Being a youth pastor for 10 years, I got to know a lot of people, and one guy in particular, I got to know him when he was about 12 or 13, and he decided right away, as soon as he heard the gospel, to follow Jesus. And he said, I'm in. He started going to every Bible study he could. He went to every missions trip he could. He stayed in the church. When it was time to go to college, he decided to go to a Christian college, got a degree in Bible. But right in the middle there, some things started to happen. And some people did some really bad things to him that were really, really hurtful. Also, his parents decided to get a divorce that he couldn't understand. And so he started looking kind of for answers in different places. And while he was surrounded by Christians most of the time, he kind of started getting frustrated with the whole package. And he started looking at the Christians, and he started looking at the buildings, and he started looking at, again, the hurt in his life. And he just kind of stepped farther and farther away from Jesus. And he ended up in a situation where he looks like a normal guy. He's working a normal job. He's living with his girlfriend in a miserable situation. And I've kept in touch with him. And every time we get together, I just kind of say, you know, man, God loves you. And he's like, yeah. I don't know. And we'd meet for years talking through that. And that's the picture that I think of when I think of this wind and waves. I see so clearly that God loves this guy. And yet he has such a hard time seeing him through everything. We're going to move on into another story, and it's a difficult one. This is Luke 22 that we're going to turn to. We're going to go to verse 54. And that's, if you have your pew Bible in front of you, it's 736. 736 is the page number. So this comes after the Last Supper, where Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and Judas actually just turned Jesus in. And it's getting pretty tough. And again, it's Luke 22, verse 54, says this. Then seizing him, that's Jesus, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance, and when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard, he had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This is the man who was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You're also one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he's a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." But just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you'll disown me three times." And Peter wept bitterly. This is another story about Peter that I thought I had to share today as we look through the most resolute resolution and what it looks like to follow Christ and the reality of that this is Peter. This is the disciple Peter who just after Jesus got arrested, Jesus is plain as day right there. He's able to look right at Peter when he does it. And he said, "I don't even know him." I was thinking about this and what this looks like in my life because I don't have a lot of times where this happens like it did to Peter. But I think there are a lot of times as I look back, and I did, I looked back through my year to think about, Lord, when did I deny knowing you? And I think it ends up being when I lose track of the big picture and I realize that it's more advantageous, I think that it's more advantageous to glorify myself rather than God in that moment, I just disassociate. And I'm speaking for myself here. I'm not trying to put any of you in the same camp with when this happens. But we do this. We deny association with our God when it suits us. And it's a terrible thing when it happens. And I love Peter's reaction that he just wept bitterly. And here's the good news. We can't read that passage without going to John 21. Let's go there together. John 21, 15. Because here's what happens. Jesus has now died. He's resurrected, and he comes back to the disciples, and he helps them catch another load of fish, and he comes up and cooks them breakfast, and it catches us up here in verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Forgiveness of this magnitude is something that is so foreign to us. Just in the last week, I've had two conversations with people who have been wronged. They feel betrayed because people in their family have done something either unfathomable to them, and they just don't want to be associated with it, or because someone that they cared about, someone that they loved, had done something that ended up hurting them. And when I talked to them, I said, well, what does it look like to forgive them, to actually let go, not not act out of the hurt that they've caused, not act in kind, but to forgive. It's a really hard question to answer. But here we see, in Peter's situation, he denied his Lord and Savior, one of his best friends, three times. And what do we see? We see Jesus approaching him, making him breakfast, and saying, simply, do you love me? My friend I was telling you about earlier, I watched him grow up and I watched him be distracted by the winds and waves in his life. And it's been about 15 years now that I've been watching this go on, just praying for him, trying to explain to him how much God loves him every time I get together with him. And we were getting together for lunch about 3 weeks ago, eating a hamburger. I was just listening to him about his life. We were talking about things we have in common. And he looks up at me, and just says, you know what, Brett? I've just been trying to tell myself that God wasn't in this with me. But the whole time, I've just been paying attention to the wrong things. God, the entire time, has been offering me help in supernatural ways that I've been avoiding telling anyone about. He keeps making songs come on the radio. He keeps showing me Bible verses from people that are total godless people. They'll come up to me at a party and quote a Bible verse, and I'll be like, what? And he's just like, God has been trying to tell me how much he loves me time and time again. And all I wanted to do is pay attention to the other stuff. And I couldn't be more excited, right? Because he's discovered that truth. Because here's the message of today. The message that we see through Peter's life, it was kind of a trick. I said we're going to go through Peter's life, right? But in all reality, the most resolute resolution didn't come from Peter. We aren't able to make resolutions and guarantee that they're going to stick. We're just people. The most resolute resolution in all of these situations is Christ. We look back at Luke 5, where he first comes up to the disciples and he says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And he means it. Then through all these other stories that we watch Peter go through Peter getting distracted, the waves and wind. Let's look at, Let's look at that passage again in Matthew 14. But I want to look at it, instead of through what Peter did, I want to look at it through what Jesus did. As Peter comes walking up to the water on them, you see in verse 27 of Matthew 14, immediately Jesus says to them, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. That's Jesus' role in the situation as he walks up. And that's what he says to us. As we're living our lives, trying to follow him, we feel like there's some distance, right? This story is great. Jesus is far off. He comes walking up on the water. They think he's a ghost. They're constantly afraid. And he says, take courage. It's I. Don't be afraid. Well, if it is you, then tell me to come out there, right? That's what Peter says. So what does Jesus say next? Come. The story is so thorough that Jesus' resolution to love Peter, to take Peter where Peter could not take himself, to take this ordinary fisherman and make him into a fisher of men. That's the resolution. And God has that resolution with you and I as well. The third quote from Jesus, look at verse 31. You have little faith. Why did you doubt? I always kind of wonder if Jesus is asking that as kind of like a actual question. Like, why did you doubt? Let's talk about it for a second. Or if it's just kind of rhetorical, like, I've never given you a reason to doubt. And that's in our lives too. In our lives, as we look at things, as we get distracted by the waves and winds, we need to realize he's reaching his hand down, just looking to help us up. And the only step we need to take is to stop focusing on the waves and on the wind and on all the things that scare us. We need to look at Jesus and not be afraid and take the hand he's offering us. Let's look again at John 21:15. And again, we're going to look at this as Jesus, from his perspective. And this is what he says to us too. He just looked at him and said, "Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he does that three times. Do you love me? Do you love me? And so the question today for all of us, December 31st, 2017, walking into 2018. I talked about the New Year's resolutions that we can make about exercising more and things like that. And sure, we can make those resolutions all we want. But I think that the message today for us is that there is a God who came in human form, who died on that cross and resurrected on the third day on your behalf, who offers you, come and follow me, who stands in the middle of the waves and wind and offers his hand and says, why don't you just trust me? And when we do deny him, when we do walk away, and when we do get distracted, he simply is looking at you, just saying, do you love me? Do you love me? And all we need to do is look at him and say, yes, Lord, I love you. And he says, well, then let's get going.